ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What secret histories hide in the objects we use every day? Things so familiar, they've almost vanished from view. The curve of a staircase, the feel of a door handle, the silent choreography of traffic lights at an intersection. Each object carries a hidden story, a design journey shaped by culture, innovation, and necessity. I'm Anthony Burke, and this is The Extraordinary Everyday, a weekly segment on ABC Radio National's By Design. Today, we're uncovering the surprising story behind a tiny icon of sushi culture, a little soy sauce fish. If you love sushi, and I do, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Those tiny plastic fish that hold soy sauce, they're everywhere, from your local sushi takeaway to high-end restaurants. But here's the catch, pun intended, they're an environmental disaster. Designer Angus Ware, along with his partner Jeffrey Simpson at Heliograph Design Studio, decided it was time to rethink this little fish and change its impact on the planet. Hi, Angus, how are you?
I'm really well, thanks.
I want to know, where did this little soy sauce fish come from? Do you know that history?
I do, yeah. So they actually emerged in the late 1950s in Japan, of course, and they were actually invented to replace ceramic and glass containers. Sometimes those were also single use, so people were using them, taking them with them and having their lunch. And at the time, this was the explosion of plastics globally. Everyone was sort of thinking about and using plastic in all these ways to solve all these minor inconveniences. And so one inventor basically created these little fish-shaped packets, took a couple years to perfect the design, and then released it into the Japanese market.
Yeah. So your fascination then with the little fish, when did that start?
Basically, when I started eating sushi.
That's a very reasonable answer.
I was working in Sydney at the time, and we were, in inner Sydney eating sushi a couple times a week. And every time you went to the sushi shop and got a container of sushi, you would have a lid, a base. Often the base has had a little plastic kind of felty thing on the bottom. They'd have a little bit of plastic grass. They'd have chopsticks, often in a plastic sachet. They'd have ginger in a sachet, wasabi in a sachet, and then, of course, the little fish, which is a bottle and a cap that then separate. And all of those things are really easy to drop. They become litter. And you would just see them everywhere. Inner Sydney, I think probably still, is just kind of, there's a layer of kind of single-use plastic that just kind of lines all of our streets and waterways and beaches. And so it was just always seeing these things and realizing they're ubiquitous in the industry and in sushi service, but they're also ubiquitous in our environment. And that's so ironic because, they're shaped like a fish. It's this sort of natural thing that we're then chucking aside after a few seconds and potentially letting go into the ocean, where it becomes problem for marine life, and then potentially that marine life is something we eat, and we're introducing those plastics back into our food, back into the sushi that we're eating.
What exactly is the scale of the waste that is generated from these containers?
So we estimate that somewhere between 8 and 12 billion of them have been used since they were invented. That's quite conservative, we think. There are estimates that plastic sachets, for example, the world goes through somewhere between 855 billion and a trillion of those every year. So the world is just addicted to these small single-use plastics.
Mm. And so they can't be recycled. Why can't they be recycled?
So the material that they're made from can technically be recycled, But there's two problems. First, they've still got some soy sauce in them, which makes them incredibly difficult to clean. And second, it's just not commercial to collect and recycle something of that size, especially in a mixed recycling environment. You just can't get those little tiny plastics out of the waste stream and turn them into something valuable.
So you're inspired then to look at a more sustainable option. As a designer, how did you start to frame that problem in your studio conversations?
Yeah, so we looked at it from all angles. Our goal was eliminate single-use plastic in sushi. And that doesn't just mean find an alternative necessarily, but, you know, how can we encourage people to reuse things? How can we encourage them to go without? And then if they do have to have a single-use thing because they, you know, they're out on the go or there's some other reason, you know, what would those solutions look like?
And then so you didn't want to lose the kind of like the iconic nature of the fish. So I guess you're trying to sort of work out how to reframe that icon?
Yeah, exactly. We felt that because it's got such a positive association. And the other thing is the little fish, when you take away the environmental aspect, they're a perfect design. They're incredibly functional. They've got great appeal. They fit in the sort of service of sushi really fantastically. It's just what those ramifications are for the environment and potentially for our health in terms of microplastics. So we knew that we wanted to keep all of that appeal and joy that those little fish spark, but really just address the fact that the material is completely inappropriate for something that's used for just a few seconds. And so, you know, we can actually look at these things in isolation and say, well, if we change the material and we change the way it functions slightly, we can go from a product that, you know, you use for a few seconds and it lasts centuries in the environment, and potentially say, well, let's make it out of something that you use for a few seconds and after a few weeks, it's disappeared.
So you have then designed a replacement for the fish, so it's not plastic. Tell me about it. What is your replacement made of?
So it's made of plant pulp. So the majority of that is a material called bagasse, which is essentially what's left over from sugar production. So it's the sort of fibrous plant material that often was just left in fields or burned. And you can actually take that and pulp it up like you would paper. And we blend in a food safe wax, so that makes it resistant to liquids. And then you can kind of form it into anything you want within reason. And so we've been able to form that into a fish. And it's basically
a very cute little fish.
Yeah. And, you know, I live in Hobart and we've had a single-use plastic ban for a couple of years. And so I've been very lucky and I've been able to see kind of into the future and see how a local takeaway market responds to changes in the materials that they are and aren't allowed to use. But I've also been able to see that, you know, whenever I travel, I see the amount of plastic that's still in circulation. And I think this could be, for a lot of people, the first time they see something in general use that's made from this material, and they can see how great it is and how we can make these products so much better, really without losing that convenience or the charm.
And in your particular little soy sauce fish, it looks like it works like the soy sauce comes out of its eye or something like that. Is that how it works? Is that how you designed it?
Yeah. So in terms of its design, it's a little bit like a coffee cup, a takeaway coffee cup. So there's a lower cup and then there's a lid. And that lid has a really tiny hole, which is actually the sort of the mouth. But basically what you can do is you tip it upside down and give it a light squeeze on the belly and little drops of soy will come out of that hole. But because the hole is small enough and there's only one tiny hole, you can transport it without it spilling or leaking too much.
Fantastic. So, and then obviously I should ask the question, are they easy and affordable to make in large numbers, en masse?
They will be more expensive than a sachet or a fish. But what we're seeing down here in Hobart is people have already shifted to using cups and lids for sauce. And so ours will actually be competitive with the alternative that's already in use.
Yeah, and so as you say, like Hobart has made the move, so by banning single-use plastics. I know South Australia recently banned the little fish for the same reason. Are you seeing this now as something which is a trend which is developing?
I hope so. I've also seen the New South Wales government has announced they'll be banned from 2030, which sounds like a very long time away. And I think now that we can see that there are alternatives, it really makes sense that they should be banned. There's just kind of no good reason to have these plastics in circulation. And the other thing is, you know, they're going to last in the environment for a very, very long time. So the sooner we can stop putting them in the environment, the sooner we can actually hope to clean them up.
It sounds like you're quite optimistic then that these little fish are going to take off. These little fish are going to fly.
I think so. I think, you know, people want to be good. They want to do the right thing. They want to be sustainable. And when you put those options in front of people and you give them to them in a way that is intuitive, it's full of joy and it's commercial for the businesses, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Angus Ware from Heliograph and co-designer of Holy Carp, a sustainable soy sauce container. It's ironic, isn't it? A little fish meant to make sushi more convenient ends up threatening the oceans it represents. What I do like about what Angus says is that there are ways to bring sustainability into our everyday life that can be fun, even joyful. A sense of humour goes a long way. In my mind, the science of sustainability was established in the 1970s, the technology in the 2000s, and now it's just a question of heart or engaging our cultural will to make these types of changes even at the scale of a tiny soy sauce container. And as Angus shows, good design doesn't just address the problem, it's the key to turning that story around. What other everyday object might have a story hiding in plain sight? If there's something you'd like us to explore, I'd love to hear from you. Drop me a line at bydesign@abc.net.au. That's bydesign@abc.net.au. Remember to follow the show on the ABC Listen app. Just search for Anthony Burke's By Design. And if you're tuning in elsewhere, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It's the best way to help others discover the show.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.